So we have four presents, four scripture readings, four candles, and we got to make sense out of all of this. I have mentioned, those that don't know me, this is just a little intro, but those that do, you're quite familiar with my, I don't like presents. I don't like presents because I can never figure out what to get anybody, and I can never figure out what to get anybody because I probably don't listen enough to them, and I'm more eager about what they might be getting me, but I really don't like them to get me anything either because the whole present exchange is rather awkward. And as I just mentioned on Sunday, it's way easier for Susan just to say, take some money from our account and go buy yourself something, and we'll say, hey, Merry Christmas. I mean, that's great. It works for us. It's not real sentimental, romantic, touching, any of those things, but it works for us. And I'll tell you, it all got started back when we were just newly married, a couple years in. And she got me a present. We didn't have much money. We were poor. Let's say it that way. It's generous, but we were poor. And she got me a present. We had like a $6 limit. And it was still at that point where I was naive enough to believe something good could happen with $6. And so I'm opening this present. Excited. I look inside and I think there has to be more. Somewhere it has to be hidden. Because I pulled it out and it was a plastic tube bird feeder. And this was when I was 25. You do not give a 25-year-old a bird feeder. And instead of saying, what is this? I just started laughing. It was one of those moments I couldn't stop laughing. I had tears rolling down my eyes. And she says, what's so funny? I said, I'm 25, I don't want a bird feeder. I can go to the zoo and look at birds. Now, what's crazy is I now have three bird feeders, and I get excited, I come and get her out of her room. I said, look at the birds, it's so great. But at 25, this was the wackiest present to ever give your husband to impress him. So anyway, she's had a fairly rough go with presents. Happens a lot of times is we get presents and we don't know the intent. Why were they given to us? And maybe much later then we can figure out how great a ram's horn might be. And believe it or not, I asked somebody for this guy in our church, they have sheep, and I said, hey, if you ever get a horn from one of those, I think I could use it. Little did they know. Anyway, Don, when he opened the ram's horn and he read to us that passage, all those angels announcing good news, great joy, peace on earth, goodwill to those on whom God's favor rests. It's a great celebration time, despite how freaky it is that these angels showed up to talk to shepherds in a field. You kind of wonder what else those shepherds had to do. But here the angels are, and they're boom, and they're loud, and they're extravagant, and it's crazy. Jesus has been born, is what they say. And that takes back, it goes way back, this proclamation of great hope. And what we talked about in the first week of Advent was a promise that God made us way, way back. And it involved a ram, and it involved a ram caught in a thicket. And in one of the more gruesome stories in the Bible, Abraham, sort of the father of our faith, the one we look to in that capacity, he had been told to sacrifice his only son up on a mountain. I mean, he had waited 25 years for this son, and now he's supposed to sacrifice the son. It was a test. And parents, don't do this on your own. I do not want your spouse calling and saying, rescue me, Pastor Han. My husband or wife is going to sacrifice our teenage son. Tempting though it may be. And anyway, Abraham had this duty, and I don't think he told Sarah before he left, and he takes Sarah was his wife, he takes Isaac, his son, and he's going to the mountain, and Isaac says, Dad, the fire's here, the knife is here, the wood is here, but where is the lamb we're going to sacrifice? Gut check time for Abraham having to answer that question. But what Abraham says, and maybe it's just hopeful fantasizing, or maybe he's digging deep into that reservoir of faith, but he says, God will provide the sacrifice. So they get up on that mountain where they're going to do this dirty deed, and somehow Abraham gets Isaac on this altar, and Abraham is ready. He has the knife. He's going to do it. He's going to give up everything for what he believes God calling him to do. And God stops him and says, stop, stop, please stop. Check out in the bushes. There's a ram caught there. That's going to be the sacrifice. God has provided the sacrifice. And when we come to Christmas, we're thinking about that. That God is going to provide the sacrifice. That there is a whole lot of darkness in the world. There's a whole lot of stumbling around. There are a whole lot of people looking for answers. And we've tried various pursuits to fill up and answer those questions that we have. But ultimately, we have this promise that God will provide the sacrifice. And this ram's horn is going to remind us of that. There was a second gift. This one a little more practical, I think. This is great. People, if you live around here, you know that I walk my dog. So many people were concerned about it. I walk my dog. I used to walk her in the... Did it go on? I'm on? It'll make it much easier to pay attention to me, won't it? If I see you sleeping, I'm after you. All right. And this... This was given to me by some well-meaning parishioner. Didn't want me to get hit. You'll notice it's still in the plastic. Ha! I shake my fist at danger. I say, hit me if you will. Nikki, is your mom here tonight? She's the one most likely to hit me. She and Tony. Yeah. Tony at least waves. Your mom doesn't even wave. She just guns right at me. Anyway, this is supposed to be my safety device when I'm out there walking my dog on the road so nobody hits me, and thus ends my tenure here as pastor. But we also had a scripture at that point that Dick read, and it's talking about a road in the wilderness. And for us to make any sense out of what that is, it was a time, this promise came, when the people of Israel had been cut off, taken away. Exiled is the fancy word for it, into foreign countries. And their longing is that they wanted to go home. They wanted, again, a place in Jerusalem where they could worship God. I just saw something on the New York Times website. They had a little video clip, and there's this church in Brooklyn, a Lutheran church. And what it does is it ministers to all the Arabic-speaking people in that area. And these people have come recently from, like, Syria and Iraq, these areas where it's become real dangerous to be a Christian. And they're meeting together, and they interviewed a couple of these people, and what they said is, you know, we're thankful for the freedom we have to worship here. We're thankful for this American experience, but our longing is to go home. Our longing is for there to be peace in our land. And that's what these people wanted, peace in their land. They wanted to go home. And this prophecy in Isaiah 35 says that in the wilderness, out in the desert, God is going to prepare a place for you. And who are the people that get to go on this road, this highway of holiness? It's going to be the lame and the blind and the deaf and those that are afraid. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus came for the lame and the blind and the deaf and the brokenhearted, and he healed them. And he says in Isaiah, this highway is going to be there, and you do not need to be afraid. I am going to protect you. The lion's not going to strike you down. Bandits aren't going to strike you down. Only the redeemed of the Lord shall go there, and they shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. And there will be streams in the desert so that they'll have plenty to drink along the way. It's a place of peace. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. We had a third present. This had a double meaning for those of us that know Mark. Let me talk about one of those meanings, and it may not be the one you're even thinking about. One day, DeVries and I took a little trip out to serve meals at the Milwaukee Rescue Mission, and we also had Mark's mom with us. And it just so happened that they had recently cleared out some of Mark's childhood possessions. Guess what little Marky still had in a box? It's the baby blanket. But the next Sunday, rather than just embarrass Mark, the next Sunday I came to church and I said, how many of you had one of those comfort blankets? And almost everybody put their hand up. And so I say tonight, how many of you growing up had a comfort blanket? Please, please be brave. That's right. That's right. I did too. It's manly and womanly to have a comfort blanket. It is not very manly or womanly if you are over 30 to still have that blanket that you sleep with at night. Get real. Anyhow, in this third present, what we want to focus on is an angel showing up and talking to Mary. And the angel says to Mary, hey, I don't know that angels really talk that way, but it sounds good. Hey, you, youngster, blessed are you above all women. The Lord's favor rests on you. And she's saying, what, who, me? Yeah, the Lord's favor rests on you. God's Spirit's going to come upon you. You are going to have a child. She says, tell me more. This child is going to be great. He's going to rule on David's throne. David's the big wig, the promised guy, the one that's going to have the throne, that's going to be the King of Kings, the Messiah. And she says, yeah. No, she didn't. She said, how can this be? I'm so young. I'm married. I don't know a man. How can this be? And the angel said, it's the power of God that's going to make this happen. God himself is going to give you a son. And his name is going to be Emmanuel. God is with us. He is going to save his people from their sins. The people were expecting a savior, but not that kind. And so this blanket that we see at Christmas time becomes a different sort of blanket for all of us. It's the blanket that represents God wrapping us up in his promises. God bringing comfort to us with his presence. We think to ourselves, we've got to protect God. We've got to do favors for God. But the promise of Scripture is, he loves us. He's brought us to himself. And all of the woes that we have, that we carry with us as we get onto that highway of holiness, leads us to this place he's prepared for us, he gives us the comfort. And then the last present is this glue. I didn't know they even made it. Python glue? I've heard of gorilla glue. I've heard of super glue. Python glue? John Porter, you are the handiest man I know. Do you know Python glue? Bob Gordy? No. This must be great stuff. It's new, highly improved. My wife has all the greatest stuff, and still she gives me bird feeders. The passage that Angie read says, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. The passage that Angie read says that therefore there's no condemnation for any of those that are in Christ Jesus. You see, he provides the sacrifice by sending Jesus. He provides the road back home and invites all of those broken people in life to journey on it. And he throws his comfort around us as we go because it seems lonely sometimes. And we're afraid much of the time. And we're blind a lot of the time. And still he goes with us. Still he comforts us. Still he's our shepherd. And then as we're getting close and we wonder Is this real? Because it seems fictional. Is this too good to be true? Because we're used to getting conned all the time. We find that he gives us this glue that connects us to him. And we try to escape him. There are a lot of us that spend time backslidden. There are a lot of our time that we're spent just in open rebellion against God. There's a lot of times that we deny him. Guess what? He keeps searching for us. Says that he's the shepherd. He knows his sheep by name. Says that he's the one that comes and calls us. It says that he's the one that has engraved our names on his hands. It says that he's the one that went to a cross so we could have life in him. Can anything in all creation separate us from the love of God? Not with Python glue. Neither height nor depth. Neither angels nor demons. Neither rulers or principalities. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. And that's what we have at Christmas. And the crazy thing is that a lot of us are going to be like how we receive these gifts tonight. We're going to throw them back and say, what is it? What am I? Electric train. I wanted the newest in video games. I wanted something exciting. And instead, what we're left with is this package of God's love. Join me in prayer. And Lord, we want to respond to you. We want at this moment when we're thinking of Christmas lights and Christmas cheer and maybe just for this moment, our hearts are just a little bit warmed. And we remember again these promises. That there is this great and mighty God who became small so that he could live among us. So that we could become big and live among him. Come, Jesus. Rescue us from the darkness. Come, Jesus, bind our hearts to you. Amen. And I'm going to light this middle candle. We call it the Christ candle that represents among the peace, love, the hope, and the joy, God's promises to us fulfilled in Jesus.